go.
The enduring grace of God has once again allowed us the opportunity to assemble in this place this evening that we might once again study His Word and endeavor to be encouraged by what God would want us to do and how He wants us to respond to His Word. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And hopefully for just a few moments this evening, we will encourage you as you embark upon this new week. The Apostle Paul writes, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." As we take a look this evening in this passage of Scripture, God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. The words go, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears allayed. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first obeyed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. All who name the name of Christ has a before and an after story. Before grace and after grace. Before God's grace and after God's grace, we have a different story. The Apostle Paul, in the passage we just read, had a story, a before life and an after life. To truly understand God's grace is to see it at work in your own life, where you were before God and where you are after God. Grace is not just a theological concept or a biblical catchword. Grace is what God has done and what He continues to do in your life in response to our sinfulness or man's sinful choices. God's grace changes everything. It even changed you. Before grace, Paul says, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before. See, there was a before life. Paul says, before I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Many times when you read the passages of Scripture that Paul wrote, you will find him giving thanks to God for his grace in his letters.
It's not hard to understand why Paul was so appreciative of God's grace. He knew what his life was like before God's grace. As he looks back on where he was and where he is now, Paul says, I feel indebted to God for having delivered me from where I was to where I am today. In Paul's before, he was not a nice person. And maybe you can say the thing. Maybe your life was such that when you're before you met Jesus Christ, maybe you can say that you were not a nice person. Little wonder when Ananias and the disciples first heard about Paul's conversion and Paul came to them, they didn't want to accept Paul because they knew that Paul was not a nice person. And it was a little difficult for them to accept him when he first came. What is your before story? We all have one. A before story. Where did God rescue or deliver you from? What did he deliver you from or rescue you from? Was it loneliness? You'd be amazed at how many people are lonely in this world. I'm told that a lonely person can be in a room of 500 people and still feel alone. Was it alcohol? Was it drugs that you were delivered from by the grace of God? Your before story. Maybe it was depression. There's so many people that are on Xanax. Is it Xanax? Yeah, and I can't remember the other one. Well, not opioids, but they're on these antidepressants. It's amazing how many people are depressed in today's society. Maybe you thought like I did when I was 15 years old that suicide was the way out before God delivered you, before your grace, your introduction to God and his grace. Suicide is not a way out of your problems. As a matter of fact, that creates a bigger problem for you because you can't repent from that. Maybe you were sexually promiscuous. Maybe there was an addiction to porn. Maybe pride was your issue. You were so proud. I don't know if you've had people that you know that are proud. They're so proud and they don't they want to look like everything is all right because they're so proud. They want to look like they're doing well in life because they're so proud. I can say one thing for us. We look the part a lot of times. Not you, I'm talking about us in general. We look the part sometimes, and we want to look the part. We drive the nice car, and we drive, live in a nice house, and we up to dead in our necks. But we look the part. But we're so proud, we don't want anybody to know that we're struggling. And that can go in a lot of different directions. Maybe it was selfishness that God delivered you from. Maybe it was just a habit of making bad decisions. Making bad decisions can be a habit. Maybe you've been through multiple marriages trying to find the right one. Maybe you were brought up in the church and you rode on your parents' faith. And I think Brother Hughes mentioned something about that this morning, about young people riding on their parents' faith. But then you find yourself struggling to find your own relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever it was, God delivered you. Paul was brutally honest about who he was. We all have history. We all have a background. We all have things that we're not proud of that happen in our lives. You can talk about those things, but God. God changed my mind. God delivered me. God put me in a different position. Paul was brutally honest about his sinfulness. And sometimes I think that we need to be a little bit more honest about our past and where we were before Jesus Christ, so we can acknowledge how great it is to be from where we were to where we are today. What did your life look like before you were a Christian? We must see ourselves like we were. We must see ourselves and must recognize where we were before Christ Jesus. We must see ourselves as God saw us, dead in sin and without hope. When we see ourselves for how we were and we recognize what God has brought us to, you can have a greater appreciation for the grace of God and His mercy in your life. In verse 15, Paul describes himself as a chief sinner. The NIV says he translated it the worst sinner of all. Were you the worst? Maybe you weren't the worst sinner, but maybe you were in the top 10. I wasn't that bad, but you know, but yeah, but I was bad. But I wasn't that bad. But I was bad. Paul's appreciation for God's grace rested upon his honest and accurate assessment of his sinfulness. We like to think sometimes that maybe our sins weren't that bad. We weren't that bad off. But sin is sin. God does not categorize sin. That's us that categorize sin. We have small sins and big sins. But God does not have small sins. You won't read that in the Bible. All you find is sin. Paul appreciated his grace from God because he was honest about his before life and what his life was like without God. After grace, Paul says he had a different change of life. Paul met Jesus Christ. And when Paul met Jesus Christ, you remember in Acts chapter 9, he met him on the road to Damascus. And when he met him on the road, Paul's entire life changed. Everything about him changed. When you became a Christian, things about you changed. You weren't the person you were before. And sometimes it's difficult for people that we ran with. Don't expect them to understand who you are today. And sometimes those kinds of situations where they don't understand who we are, if we're not careful, we can allow those things to bring us down. But when Jesus appeared to Paul, Paul's life changed. Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. The persecutor became the preacher. The blasphemer became the Bible teacher. Paul was now a new person, or Saul was now a new person in the name of Paul. He did nothing to deserve the forgiveness that he had received from God. He did nothing to deserve the appointment that God gave him as an apostle. It was only because of God. It was all God. Where you are today, you didn't deserve to be where you are today. God could have left us where we were. But he sent somebody to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you became a new person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle." Paul recognized that I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But God saw something in Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am today. And it was His grace that was bestowed upon me it was not in vain that he did it, because I have labored more abundantly than them all, but yet not I, but the grace of God has labored in me. It wasn't me. Why would Jesus provide grace for Saul of Tarsus? The answer is in verse 15. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Saul's conversion is an example of Jesus' mission to the whole world. He came to save sinners. And Saul was a sinner. But so was I. But so were you. I need it. You need it. We all needed God's grace, just like Paul did or Saul did. Amen. Christ did not leave his throne in heaven to give aid to a few people who needed a little bit of help. That's why we're here. Grace and God's mercy was the catalyst for the great change in Saul's life. What is your after story? You had a before, now you have an after story. What is your after story? How has the mercy of God changed your life? How has Christ's love and grace changed the things that you desire in life? What fruit are you producing in your life because of God's grace? Because of your before and your after? Because of where you are today? I'm producing fruit that I would not have produced in my before life. I produce fruit because I'm so appreciative of the grace that God bestowed upon me from where I was. Do you pursue different goals now that you have obtained God's grace? Do you make different choices in your life now because you appreciate so much so the grace that God has bestowed upon you? Do you love more? Do you give more? Do you sacrifice more? Do you sin less because of the appreciation that you have for the grace of God that has been bestowed upon you? How has Christ's love and his faithfulness rescued you from your dark days? Being specific in answering these questions that we just had, it helps us to see and appreciate how much Christ has changed our life. We can have confidence in God's amazing grace, that it will take us through whatever battles we're dealing with, whatever trials we're going through, whatever temptations we're faced with. God's amazing grace will get you through. The purpose of God's extended grace to Paul went beyond just his forgiveness. He was cleansed and changed for a particular work. Paul was chosen for the specific and the unique work of apostleship. But we also received grace for a purpose. We have a work to do. We have a job to do. I have a work and you have a work to do. We must be, or we should want to be, busy with that work. For what work have you been redeemed? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul speaks of evangelists. Maybe that's your work. Teachers, elders. He mentions servants in Romans 12. He mentions teachers again. I saw that, and when I went through that twice, I thought about Brother Blocker constantly, excuse my expression, brother, begging folks for some teachers. But maybe that was your work, and maybe that's why you're here. Encouragers, leaders, those who are generous, and those who show abundant mercy. All of these works and all of these gifts are necessary for the function of the Lord's church. What work are you doing that displays God's amazing grace in your life? Are you a teacher? Are you an encourager of others? Are you a generous giver? Are you a leader? Are you a servant to those who are in need? Did God provide His grace simply because, or simply to allow you to be able to attend services a couple of times a week? Or is there more that God did? God's grace to you is your story. Only you can answer that question. It's your story of where you were before His grace and where you are today and where you're going tomorrow, if you will. If you're a child of God this evening, are you fulfilling your story of how God's grace has changed your life and has provided an opportunity for you to serve in His kingdom? If not, why not? If not, make a change. Resolve in your mind that I'm going to show God that I appreciate so much my after story. I appreciate so much where you have brought me from. And I think about some individuals whose lives have been in the gutter, and God delivered them out of the gutter. And maybe yours wasn't in the gutter, but maybe God delivered you from something else. And you know what you used to be. I know what I used to be. It's only when we pretend that we didn't used to be that we have a problem. But we all used to be. We all had a background in our past. And if you're not a child of God, your before story can begin now. Your after story is waiting to be told. Where has God's grace, led you? Where has it brought you from? How, if you took your before story without God's grace and you penned it out through life, where would you be today were it not for God's grace? If you're here this evening and you're already a member of the body of Christ, and maybe you haven't been working out God's grace in your life, but you don't want that to be your story, that I didn't work out God's grace in my life. Maybe you want it to be your story that you will be what God has called you to be. And maybe you're here this evening and you just need prayer that God will continue to extend His grace upon you and allow you to find that opportunity, that work that He has designed for you. And sometimes it's a work that only you can do. And maybe you're here this evening and you're not a member of the body of Christ. The Bible says that there is one way, and in that one way there's five steps that we come to Christ. We hear the gospel according to John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, every man that had heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. We believe that. We believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, that He loved us so much. He loved me so much. He was willing to leave His home in heaven and come down here and die a cruel death so that I could have the hope of eternal life. Be willing to repent. Change your life. Make up in your mind that I've decided that the life that I used to live, my before, I don't want to live anymore. I'm committing myself to God, and I'm going to allow God to direct my life. And you're sorry for the things that you've done that were contrary to the will of God. Be willing to acknowledge before this assembly that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And be willing to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. And I always talk about the fact of how good it feels to be forgiven. How good it feels to have your sins washed away. How good it feels to know that no matter what you've done in life, how bad you messed up in life, that when you are buried in a watery grave of baptism, you come up like a new baby. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All your old sins have been forgiven. All your old sins have been washed away. And now you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Lord will add you to His church, the family of God. If you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come as together we stand and sing.
Yield not to temptation, for